topic is fab. So I just wanted to make a couple of announcements, which I think maybe there were some discussions earlier in the group when we were talking. So the thing is that when we are going to do the class, so there are some costs that we have to meet. So earlier the cost was a bit higher, on the higher side. It's not high, it's just that it's somebody else's place, you're renting the space, you're renting the facility, you are utilizing the staff, etc. I think it was coming to about 4,500, because we were giving 2,800 for the room and other things for the staff, etc., according to what Ritu told me. But now I think what we worked out, what Avtar has worked out, is that we are not paying for the room, right? But we are going to be paying for the two staff who come, and tea and coffee and whatever small things. I think if the total has been worked out or not worked out to 1500 or 2000 or whatever, something like that, that the details Manoj will tell you. And I think, you know, so we have a Vyasa team now. So basically Manoj Gupta will be heading it, but in the team we also have Saroj and we have Rajni and we have Lalit. So all four of them are there, and they've decided that they are going to take 1000 rupees per month, which comes to about 250 per class or whatever. How you're going to take it, how they are going to do it, that I am not into that. That Manoj will discuss with you all, and the others will discuss with you all, and you'll work it out. And wherever we have class, whatever it is, we'll have to give some basic, you have to pay for the infrastructure. There's nothing called a no free lunch. So this is what they've come to. So only the announcement I will tell you. If the fees go up or down, that announcement I will make. We don't take that figure from anywhere else. So right now, I know. So right now, if they've decided that is going to be 1000 rupees per month per person, okay, which will cover the four classes. Rest, how you're going to work it out, they will tell you. Is that okay? And so this is it. And anytime, as I said, in future it goes up and down, I'll make the announcement, they will do the workout wherever we are. So here what Avtar has done for us now is that we are getting the room free. So we are only paying for the other small things. Okay? Is that all for children's happening? I am just not happy about teaching this stuff. Don't like to teach about, then you're evoking. We believe that whatever you are talking about, whatever you are studying, whosoever chart you are seeing a lot, you are evoking that energy. We feel those people actually come. And that's one reason why we do see a lot of chart of spiritual people, because we feel that their presence is there. You know, we want good presences, we don't want negative presences. But anyway, this is actually a very interesting topic. Because all of you study Saturn's transits, right? We all do that. We know the conventional transits of Saturn, like from Lagna, then from 8th from Lagna, 8th from Moon, 4th from Lagna and Moon. All these things you all know. But this is something... I know. So this is something which... is a different point that you can also take into consideration. It's another technique. So along with the normal Saturn transits that you see, you must also give weightage to this concept that we are going to do. So this is basically on Saturn and Arura Lagna. What is the concept of Arura Lagna, and why Saturn's concept or Saturn's transit from Arura Lagna is very important, and a different way of seeing it. So when we do it, for example, for us, trines to Saturn's transit, trines to Arura Lagna is also very important. Very, very important, because it impacts the health in a very big way. So whenever we are seeing somebody is very sick and there are longevity issues, we also see that where is Saturn's transit? When will Saturn come to trines to Arura? You know, at that time, if a person is like very terminally ill, we know that is a possibility that that time the person will go, provided other dashas which are important for longevity and death also matches, like Shula Dasha, etc. So this is one example like this we will see. Okay, so this is an additional tool to add to what you already understand or study about Saturn transit. Since I've just been dealing so much with Saturn's transit on Scorpio with so many people, so this was in my mind and I thought that we should share it with you. So we do the Guru Mantra now and then we'll start.
Om Gurave Namaha. 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 Om Gurave Namaha.
Yeah, so before this, we are going to start a little bit with the definition of what Arura is. So I think when we have just started the Vyasa classes, Sanjay ji had taken a couple of classes on Arura, right? So did he go over the definition of Arura with you all? He went. So this is another few points on Arura, because Arura definition is very huge. It's a very, very wide concept. So, all the definitions are to be pulled together. He would have said, I'm going to add a few points. All of it will give you a very comprehensive picture of what Arura is. If any of you ever, I think I've mentioned it to you, any of you get a chance in 2014 in Seattle, there was the conference organized by the CVA, which is the Council of Vedic Astrology of USA. And there he gave a talk on Arura Lagna just for, 1 hour. And I would really advise everybody to listen to that. That is really for even somebody who has never listened to Arura. I think it's one of the best of what I've heard him to give a real introduction. And he just spoke also very from the heart. If anybody ever gets it, so unfortunately we don't ever get the rights or authority to sell our series. So all our conference series we cannot reproduce or give them to you. So if anybody ever gets it, then maybe you all can share it. This is CVA. CVA, Council of Vedic Astrology. It was their annual conference. They do it once in 4 years. So the last one was in 2014 in Seattle. Council of Vedic Astrology, Seattle Conference 2014. CVA. I have no idea. Somebody will have to go. I have no clue. I don't know anything. You all will have to go. Somebody will have to go. Saroj will do it and find out. It is, I recommend it is worth listening, this Arura Lagna lecture. And there was so much of crowd over there, it was like all Chakrapani Ulal, everybody, David Crowley, everybody was there listening. It was like a pin drop kind of a thing. But I actually think that it's one of the best talks. No, America. Council, huh? So I don't know how they do it, you will go ahead. So, because it is for sale. It is for sale. But I don't know what they charge. And I think I'm very sure you can buy individual lectures or CDs. They usually, in UK and USA, that's the good thing. They give you that option that you can buy only that day's CD. You don't have to buy 7 days or... Sometimes people let you buy lecture-wise also. So, and then you can share it. That is really, I feel, if you want to get a real good introduction and understanding of Arura, I recommend it to all students of Jyotish to listen to that. It's a one-hour talk, but bahut badhiya. So, now Arura Lagna, basically the definition. Okay. Now there are one or two basic concepts of Arudha that you must understand. What does the word Arudha mean? Arudha is a Sanskrit word. We use it in our vernacular language also. I know definitely I use it in Bengali. I think in Hindi also you would have heard, like Shiva is described as being Vrisharudha. Right? You heard the term in the Dhyanas, Vrisharudha. What does Vrisharudha mean? Somebody who's the actual word. It means somebody who's mounted on the bull. Vahana is one word, but when we use the word Vrisharudha or Gajarudha or Ashwarudha, means somebody who's mounted on the bull, somebody who's mounted on the horse, somebody who's mounted on the elephant. That means you are riding on something. Okay, that is the actual meaning of the term Arudha. So you must understand that. Another thing I want to tell you, many of our students, I'm talking about my Indian students, Delhi-based students, they pronounce the word Arudha very differently. Some say Arudha, some say Arud. So it is Arudha, you can say Arud, it's okay, but don't say Arudha, okay? So be careful with that. So the dictionary meaning of Arudha means to mount, rise, and soar, like mounting a horse, or to ascend, or to elevate. So we even have the word Arohan. Why am I going into the definition? It will help you to grasp the topic. Arudha is not an easy topic to grasp. You all are always listening, Arudha, Arudha. I wonder how many of you have got a clear idea in your head what Arudha is. It also means to rise, Arohan. Arohan, Avarohan are Sanskrit words. Arohan means to ascend. In music, we also have the saptak from lower sa to upper sa is called Arohan. And even, you know, like Sarigama Padhanisa, in English you have Dore, Mi, Fa, Sola, Ti, Do. So from the lower Do to the upper Do, or lower Sa to upper Sa, is called Arohan. And then we are coming down the scale, that is Do, Ti, La, that thing. Sanidha, Pa, Ma, Ga, Re, Sa, that is called Avarohan. So rising, elevating, or mounting, like riding a horse or riding the bull. That is what Arudha means. Keep that in your mind. Second point, it is also referring to images and symbols. Now this meaning is very different. Referring to images and symbols, society creates to allow its members to mount, thereby achieving social status. It is the objective that is ascended or achieved, like a throne, a position in any government, society, institution, or body corporate or any social forum. Okay. So Manoj, suppose you in your department suddenly get some special position. What happens in your government? You are this, but you are also additional director this. You are also head of this supervisory, this committee. You have a lot of that. These are Arudhas. In your case, I mean in the government's case, it does make a sense because the government has so many bodies. But they are actually Arudhas. More so, let me come down to a level. You people, okay, government, there is a certain need. But say in the social sphere, you can say that, okay, Manisha is here doing Jyotish, she goes to any place to work, but she also is some inner wheel member of Rotary, plus she holds some executive member of some body. These are all Arudhas, meaning they are images which society is giving you for you to rise in the social status. I am this, I am an executive member of that, I am in the governing council of a prestigious social club, I am the executive member of some astrological council, I'm the patron of some mountaineering club, or I'm something. These are what, and people write when they are giving, especially people who are seniors, they write these 2-3 lines. So what are these? What are these things? These are just status positions, right? Markers. Doesn't mean that you're not doing the work. You are doing, but they're little social markers. They're like images. And these are also the images by which you climb or achieve a certain status in society. So remember the word climbing, image, status. All these words are coming together when we are talking about Arudha. Society, institution, social forum, somebody even becoming a CEO of a company, becoming a board member, becoming an advisory committee, becoming an honorary member somewhere, all these are symbols by which you are rising in society. Okay, without undermining anybody's actual work merit or work, it is, these are all simple added badges. Got it? Okay. Then we have this, that the mental imagery of the power created, when one is atop a beast like a horse or a pedestal, it is something seemingly higher up or risen and obtaining which one feels he has risen in life. So the images, symbols that cause a person to be raised, elevated, high, famous, powerful, form part of the other. So what it says is that whenever we are talking that riding a horse is arura, it, or riding a pedestal, it means it gives you a sense of power. When you ride a horse or an elephant, it gives you a sense of power. If you crown the king, when you go and sit on the throne, it gives you a sense of power. When you've become the chairperson of some committee and in the board meeting you hold a position at the head of the table, it gives you a sense of power. Similarly, all these other symbols which are adding to your sense of power, which are helping to rise your social status in life, rise or elevate your status in life, they all contribute or form a part of Arura. Now you understand, we keep on talking about the word Maya. You would have heard, like we always say, oh, Arura is Maya, Arura is Maya. What really matters in this life is Maya. Why? Because this is what Arura is. Because see, in the material life, this is what matters. In what we call the samsaric life, this is what matters to us. It doesn't matter what you are inside and how many rounds of whatever you are doing. What the outside world is seeing you are full of these symbols and all these images and how many committee members you are, how high you are, how powerful you are. That's how the society perceives you. That is Arura. Understood? Is this clear to you? Okay. So this self, which is yourself, which is rides on a horse and feels powerful and has so many symbols, which creates a certain status. I hope all of you are listening. You can write down later, please. There's no point if you write down. You have to understand the concept, which is more important. So if you're rising in status, write everything that is contributing for you to rise in status. You may say this is not the real me. There is a part of me which is going and becoming a chairperson of a committee somewhere, attending another inner wheel meeting somewhere, an executive committee somewhere, becoming the head of the company somewhere. This is my external image. That is not me. That is not what I am. I'm actually a person. I have Mars Ketu on my lagna. I go home and I scream at my wife. That's the real me. You can say that, right? So this is an external self. All these badges and social symbols and the power that you have is an external self. So can we say it is a secondary self? You are the self that you are projecting in society. We can say it's a secondary self. It's an image. We use the word image, na? In Hindi it is image bana ke rakha hai. So it's an image that you have. It's a secondary self. So this secondary self that is mounted or superimposed upon the real self. The word mountain is Arura. What is Arura? My real self, this secondary social self is mounted on the real self. It is superimposed. And this superimposed self often exists in a parallel plane to the real self, but can become so real as to blur the distinction. So it is mounted on the real self, okay? But what happens that you are actually, both the cells can operate at a parallel level, so that you can say, my family sees a very different side of me. How many times you have heard many people say this? People who are in position will say, my family sees a very different side of me. My wife, my children, my mother, my, you know, sisters, my college friends see a very different side of me. And when I'm in my committees and working and this and that and I have an image, that is a very different side of me, right? So this external image is superimposed on the real self, but both are there. So both are actually operating in a parallel self. So this superimposed self is actually called Arura. I am giving you a very heightened example so that you understand, that you can apply it to any regular person's thing also. Even if you are not a committee member, we all have an Arura in the public life. But if you understand the heightened example, you will understand it. So they always exist parallelly. And sometimes what happens, that self which you are projecting to the outside world becomes so real, it becomes you. There is a saying, an English proverb, they say that the mask becomes the skin. Meaning when you wear a mask for too long, the mask only becomes the skin. So you know, when you are having that image, you often will see of some people who have some status, they become that. They can actually become that because you are living that, no? So you actually, you are more that person. You may have forgotten your real person also. I have seen this with my own eyes with some people. So closely, you see, they become that. Because they are living that life so much, they become that. So these superimposed selves can be multiple depending on the various aspects of our lives. We can have multiples, yeah. So what happens is that, for example, if suddenly you meet your college friends or your school friends, you have a totally different image in front of them. Your school friends will have a totally different image. I mean, I don't know how it is for y'all over there in the US, but here, school friend fraternity, college friend fraternity is very strong. I mean, you know, till we are 60s or 70s, we kind of, you know, bond with them, and you have your alma mater functions, and then everybody becomes a young boy over there. But the way your college friends or school friends perceive you is very different. Then you go to work. You all are working. Manoj is working. Many of you are here working in a professional sphere. When they see you in your company, when you go to work, they're your colleagues, or if you're a boss, then people working under you, or your colleagues, or your seniors, or your juniors, they perceive you in a different way. They have a completely different perception of you. Probably they don't even know that this person is going and studying Jyotish. They have no idea. I don't know how many of your colleagues have an idea, they don't know. Here he's in charge of Vyasa class, it's a different Arur altogether. There they wouldn't know at all. So it becomes a completely different thing. So you can have an Arura with your work, you have an Arura with your school friend, you have an Arura with your self, with your family. You can take a family which is, say, if you have brothers and sisters and parents. So with your parents and your brothers and sisters, you're very different. Maybe you're the youngest in your family. Maybe a person is very hot shot and is very senior, but he is a baby in the family. He has 3-4 elder brothers or sisters. His entire image in the family is different. He's probably bullied around. How is the image with his own direct family, like his wife and his kids? Association with wife's family, it's a different thing altogether. How does your neighborhood visit you? Do you walk down to the grocery store? Who don't know you but have a different perception of you? Then you have a Jyotish community. I'm saying Jyotish. Other people can have mountaineering, they can have bird watching, whatever. We are in Jyotish, so I'm talking about Jyotish. You may be fully involved in Jyotish, you are in charge of a Jyotish group, you may be teaching Jyotish, everything. But that's a different image of you. People may not know. So what is this? Many people have multiple selves. Sometimes when a person is very much in the top, their main, that power self, that, as I was saying, almost becomes the personality, because that's what they are living. Even they have private lives. But what is happening is you are having these multiple selves. And multiple selves is what in different places they are seeing you. So they are projected, multiple selves are projected in different arenas of life, whereby college friends, families, colleagues can have different pictures of the same person. This is very clear to you. All of you actually know this. Now anybody who's very young here may not have experienced it, but once all of us are, you know, little bit, post 30 or post 40, you will have experienced this. So this real self, the real you, is the lagna. And all these superimposed multiple selves, or the superimposed main self, is the Arura lagna.
That is why we are saying it is Maya. That every time you heard the word, this is Maya, Maya, Maya. It is Maya because that is not the real you. But it is a very important you because that's how everybody knows you. That's why we use the term your manifested image. That's how you are. That has to be maintained. Those of you who are working professionally and have got a good image at work, your image at work has to be maintained. We don't want that Arura to go down. Manoj Kashyap is doing very well for donkey's years in his department. We don't want your image to go down. Your image, that Arura has to be maintained. So Arura cannot go down. That is very much, you cannot say that is Maya. It is a real part of you. It is one part of you. But insofar that is not your lagna, that is why we say Maya. These are manifested images. When that thing finishes, when that life is over, that image, that Arura is finished. Okay. The multiple superimposed cells in the different areas of the life are the different Arura Padas. So the Arura Lagna is the main superimposed cell. And the different Arura Padas, that you have different Arura Padas of each house, are your images or cells which are projecting to different areas of your life. Alright, A5, A10, A9. A9 is vis-a-vis the bosses and father, and A10 is your work. So those are different, you know, the different areas of your life which you. In Eastern Indian tradition, horoscopes are to be analyzed from the Lagna, Arura Lagna, Atma Karaka to get a complete and correct understanding of the chart. This is also not only definitely in the tradition of Orissa, which Sanjayji is teaching you, but in our tradition of Bengal, when we look up all the old books by the old masters, jo bade bade, you know, the great scholars of Jyotish earlier, who pandits who have written the books, all of them, all the masters have stated clearly. So this is something across the region we find, that a chart has to be analyzed from Lagna, Arura Lagna and Atma Karaka. Atma Karaka is your spiritual self. If you, and Atma Karaka is also the king of the horoscope. If you don't do that, you do not get a clear picture of the horoscope. How many people do that? Atma Karaka Lagna is called Karaka Lagna. Alright, so Lagna, Arura Lagna and Karaka Lagna. It is a must that you must have. And I'll explain to you why. Okay. So from this we can say that the human personalities are this combination or a collage of real and created images. A mixture which is both actual and illusionary Satya and Maya. You understood this now very carefully. So all these images that you have in front of your class friends, in front of your, in your office, children, family, whatever. So there is a, it's a mosaic, isn't it? All these different cells of you, it's a mosaic, it's a collage. Some part is an actual cell, some parts are created cells, some parts are just a temporary manifested cell. So there is a combination of that which is real and that which is just superficial. So what we are saying is, that is why we say this is Maya. We call all Aruras Maya because it is a created image. You were not born with it. You were born with a Lagna. But as you grew up, all these Aruras got created. As you grew up, you went to school, you went to college, then you went to work, you went to specialized education center, you married. As these things happened in your life, all these things got created. These new Aruras got created in your life, isn't it? So some of them are created. So we are in Jyotish terminology, we are actually saying it is Maya. Because you are not born with it. Because only what you are born with is called Satya. And even when you die, actually it is that Satya. Lagna is the only Satya. It is known as the absolute truth. Okay? And everything else is relative truth. So Satya and Maya. And Aruras are associated with Maya. All these created things. So Maya is that, what is called Maya? But if you give a definition of Maya, they say Maya is that which is an illusion. It is an illusion. It is not the real thing. It can also be deceived. It can also be supernatural tricks or sorcery. It can be a fraud. It can just be an apparition. Apparition meaning just an image, like a ghost. Why are we talking about deceit and fraud? Because somebody's image can be a fraud image, that all of you know. we have a lot of that over here. Isn't it? We have a lot of that over here. Maybe they don't have it in the West so much. We have a lot of it over here. You construct an image of yourself. Actually, nothing, that Aruda is only false. Hey, you're nothing. You've created an image of yourself that you're somebody not sure of that and doing all kinds of things. That is a fraud. So Aruda can be fraud also, no? So that is why it is called Maya. Because it can be an illusion, it can also be a fraud, it can also be a deceit. We don't know. It is a created image. So Aruda is an image that is tangible as it manifests. Meaning, as it is manifesting, it is tangible. In your case, you are working for what, 30 years in the department? 30 years? 20 years? 25 years? 26 years, 25 years, he's working in the department. It's been a long time. He's got a steady kind of a, almost steady kind of a position in one department. He, there, I would say this Aruda has solidified. The Aruda has fully manifested. It's not that he worked there for 2 years, got shifted in a totally different branch of the government, shifted out, went off somewhere else, took leave, went and did business, came back, all kinds of things. Basically, it's a steady thing. In this case, we would say Aruda has fully manifested. It has manifested to that extent, it has become tangible. It has become a tangible and a real thing. You are identified with that. You are identified with that word. If I take Sanjayji, he is being an astrologer for donkey's years and he devotes his 24 hours to astrology, that Aruda immediately has become tangible. It has fully manifested. As an astrologer, it is there. It is a manifested Aruda. So Satya or truth is different. That is neither measurable in terms of achievement nor is it tangible. Okay. When we are talking about Satya, that is the real truth. They say Satya is something that it is not tangible and you cannot measure it. Can you measure truth? You cannot measure truth. You cannot measure truth, it is not tangible. But you can measure Aruda, and Aruda is a tangible thing. It is a material thing. His job is a material thing. I can say he's worked there for 26 years. He's got an XYZ reputation. He's worked himself to an XYZ position. These are tangible manifestations. Alright, if I say Sanjayji has got a certain reputation as an astrologer across the world, it is a tangible thing. Alright, these are measurable things. Reality, Satya or truth is not measurable. This is the difference between Satya and Aruda. And that's why we say Aruda deals with the materially manifested world. So Satya or truth is different, is neither measurable. Like you can't measure it in terms of achievement, nor is it tangible. So if we say that the entire creation is a manifestation of Maya, the image or illusion, then what we perceive as true is actually only partially true, like a mirror image of the truth and leads to the truth. Okay. So we then, you know, stand to our Vedantic philosophy. In Vedanta, it is said that this whole created universe is Maya. All of you are aware of it. They say that this is not true. There is only one truth, and that is the Supreme Being, the Supreme Spirit, the Brahman. Only He is the truth and everything else is Maya. This whole created universe is Maya. So in our philosophy it is said that the tangible, created, manifested universe is done by the Divine Mother. The Divine Mother is, that's why her name is Mahamaya. She is the great Maya because she has created the world. She is a part of the Supreme Being who's come up and created the world. So they say this, everything is illusionary. Vedanta will tell you all this is illusionary. Our relationships are illusionary. You are illusionary. I am illusionary. This building is illusionary. This whole earth, Jupiter, Venus, Moon, everything is illusionary. These are all created. The real truth is a nothingness with only the Supreme Being. That is what Vedanta says in very simple language. Alright? And they say this created world is nothing but a reflection of the truth. We are nothing but a reflection of the Supreme Being. Even we as a living being are nothing but a reflection of the Supreme Being. That is why Parashara also says that we are Jivatmas. We are all Jivatmas, which is represented by our Atma Kavaka. And there is only one Paramatma, there is only one God, there is only one Supreme Guru, whatever you want to call him. And we are only reflection of him. That is why after death we will merge back to him, because we have no separate entity. So it is not only us, but this whole material universe, the cosmos, that is also like that. It is just a reflection of his being. So they say all this is Maya. Okay, so this is tangible right now, but it is illusionary. But we can't perceive it as illusionary, right? So we believe it is real. Because I'm sitting on this chair, to me it feels very real. And seeing all of you feels very real. But a Vedantist is saying, no, that is actually, there is nothing. It's all illusionary. And that is why we need manifested forms of God. Why does God come up, manifest himself in these deity forms? Because we need that, because they say that it's very difficult only if you're spiritually elevated can you actually relate to a God who's just the spirit. But because we are low level and we can't, and hence we need all these forms. So these are all reflections of our mind. So everything is Maya. Anything that is tangible and manifested is called Maya. It's a mirror image of the truth. So all of this will lead to the truth, but it is not the truth. From here we can go to the truth, but it is not the truth. The truth is only one. That is what our philosophy tells us. Here, the root of the term can be traced back to the Advaita teachings of the Upanishads, which holds the Satya Sanatana and Nirguna Brahman to be the only truth of the universe, while the rest was held to be nothing but an illusion of Maya. So any of you here who've never read any of the Upanishadic texts, actually the Bhagavad Gita is nothing but an essence of the Upanishad. And the Upanishad actually, they culminate or distill the philosophy what is there in the Veda. So you must read some of the Vedas and you'll see this is all that the Veda talks about. And the essence of that is all what is in Gita, which is what Krishna talks about. And that is why they constantly say that you must go and seek the Self, because that is the only truth. And don't get caught in this trappings and etc. So at the highest level of this philosophy, we learn about the soul. Is that what we are and everything else is illusionary, everything else is temporary. But that which manifests to create this very beautiful universe is the Shakti or the great goddess Mahamaya. This is what I told you. That it is the divine mother or the divine feminine energy of the supreme being which has created this created universe, the universe that manifests. That is why the word Prakriti is often used. You have heard? We use this is Prakriti. Prakriti means Mother Nature. Prakriti means Mother Nature. Prakriti is the name for the divine feminine. Purusha and Prakriti is the first division that the soul that makes. And it is Prakriti. It is the feminine energy which creates and gives birth. So they have given birth to this universe, the created world. And that is Maya. Now the moon represents the divine mother and the divine energy. That is why for the Arura Lagna, moon is the significator. Okay, we have heard some of you that moon is a significant of Arura Lagna. It is for this reason, because moon represents the divine mother. And the divine mother is one who has created. So that is why moon is responsible for your images. Moon is also reflection, reflective image. Because Arura is nothing but a reflection of yourself. Have you got it?
Very well explained.
Okay. So this is something very brief. Concept of Arura therefore is based on the reflection of light. Now you understand. It's a reflection of myself. So it's a reflection of light. Originally the light of the moon and of the sun. So the moon does not have light of its own, but it basks in reflected light, right? So this is explained by the concept of the pinhole camera. This camera that you're taking photographs with, the origin of the camera is a pinhole camera, which you are supposed to have studied in your physics class. At least we studied in our physics class. Right? The pinhole camera, how duplicate images are created with reflected light and the duplicate images are reversed image of the original. Similarly, images are captured by our eyes are reversed in our brain by Rahu and Ketu. The eye is like a pinhole camera, and it is exactly like that, and Rahu and Ketu actually reverses them in our head. So events in our life are stored in the brain in groups of images and emotions, and these groups are 12 in number and are the 12 Arudhapadas. Because Arudhapadas are these reflections and images. Now to get to the satya of each event, one will have to reverse each image stored in the brain. What is the reality? What is the satya of each thing? For that you have to actually reverse it. So those coming to very high concepts of Arudha, which we are not getting into now, what is a reversal of Arudha, what is a shift of Arudha, what is secondary, third Arudhas, all these concepts you have. But our thing was now to understand this as an introduction. Now, before we come to this, what we are going to do, so this maintenance of this Arudha becomes very important. In all spheres of our life, we would like our Arudha to be maintained. This Arudha should not get destroyed. Often we feel that when the time of death has come, your main Arudha gets destroyed. There is a damage to the Arudha Lagna. That means the manifest itself is being damaged. You will see for many people before they are dying, their image in their society or the family or in job, it takes a beating, it goes down. So the Arudha has to be damaged before death comes. So definitely we don't want Arudha to be damaged. That's why many times we don't want to do Shaktis which are associated with Arudha. Sometimes it's very necessary in a chant. We have to give that remedy. But like many times we try to avoid it. Like for example, I have that issue in my chart where in my Navamsha, Saturn, Moon, Ketu very strongly shows a Kalika Yoga which is in 12th from my Karakamsha. And there is a Parivartana and all those things very strongly. Now, and I have Saturn in its own sign also in Rashi, very strong Kalika Yoga. Shani Chandra gives Kalika Yoga. But I can't actually do a full-fledged ever sadhana of Kali because that Shani for me is in my Arul Lagna. I have Shani in my Arul Lagna in Rashi chart, though it's in its own sign. So which means that whenever I will worship Kali, it will damage my Arudha, which means that is not good for me. It just does not mean that it will damage my image in society. That happens, it can cause a death to you. A damage? Huh.
How will it damage
your
Arudha?
Huh. You're worshipping the God, you're evoking that energy also. And sometimes when you're invoking the energy that Arudha may get, because the God or Kali will always want to reach the truth, and it will break the maya of where it is sitting. It will want me to go to the truth. So I would not want to do that. I would not want to break that. As I said, that many times people when they're nearing death, they often suddenly lose Arudha, lose job, position. It happens. We observe these things very carefully, we get to know. Otherwise you will not notice these things. So Arudha should not be damaged. So Saturn is good over there. Saturn has also been a malefic in the Arudha, has done its damage in its time. But I also have Venus in the 7th. So that is a positive thing. But if I do the Kali, she will completely remove that Arudha Lagna. She will want me to remove from Arudha Lagna and go beyond to Satya Loka. Na? So Mahakali has that thing, and it is the Ishta Devata combination. The Ishta Devata's purpose is to reach you to the truth, not so that you get a better job in life. Right? So I can never do Kali Sadhana. Maybe little bit Bija I'll do here and there and let it be. Alright. So that means just from this example I gave you, that means Saturn's transit over Arudha becomes very important. When Saturn is now transiting Arudha or transiting in trines from Arudha, Saturn being a malefic graha has the power to destroy the Arudha very strongly. Trines, always trines to Arudha. Alright, not the Kendras. So it will have the power to destroy. What happens, as I gave you the example right in the beginning, if somebody is going through a very bad time, you are seeing chart has come to you, person in his 50s or 60s, whatever, person has got a terminal illness, they ask you how long will the person live, so and so has got cancer, or so and so has got this, or so and so has got that. Of course we will check dashas. Definitely we check special longevity dashas, like Shula dasha is one dasha we check for longevity.
then we check other longevity calculations in the chart. And we'll say, okay, the Shula Dasha is positive, this, that. We definitely, what we do, we check Saturn's Aruga transit and trine square. Along with Shula Dasha, this is what we check. Is it transiting the trine? Is it transiting the Arun Lagna? That is not a good thing. That is not a good transit of Saturn to have. When that, because if Saturn's transit of Lagna is also horrible, that all of you know. But what I am giving you the additional thing is that Saturn's transit of Arura Lagna is also very bad because it can damage. So in what way it damages? It damages you by shaking you, especially with health and disease. It can give you a lot of disreputation. Maybe it will create such a situation I have seen. You know, some people go through these experiences in life, something happens and some scandal gets exposed, maybe of theft, maybe of something personal nature. And absolutely they have to leave the company and go. You've heard of these stories?
Yes.
Here is Saturn transiting Aruga Lagna. That is a case of Saturn transiting Aruga Lagna. Your person is very sick, Saturn is transiting Aruga Lagna, keep your fingers crossed. The person is not going to be very healthy at that time. If he is already very ill and Shula Dashas are not supporting, Saturn is going to transit Aruga Lagna in 2 years, you can be rest assured that is the time the person will go. Trines or Lagna or Aruga Lagna. So Saturn has a great capacity to damage it. So we don't study so much the other planets, but we definitely study, we do study, but Saturn's transit of Aruga Lagna, we study very clearly.